On today's show, the Bucks used a huge fourth quarter, and specifically Brook Lopez had a huge fourth quarter, and they overcome the pesky Raptors in a game that always seems to be close against this team. Giannis also posted a very, very rare perfect from the field triple-double, but overall it was all about the fourth quarter, and the Bucks really needed this win because the Philadelphia 76ers aren't making a charge. Let's talk about it.
Backs him down. Giannis into the lane. Giannis spinning. Fading shot. Up. Good for Giannis at the buzzer. Bucks win it.
Bucks. My name's Kane Pittman. You can see and hear me on this show Monday to Friday, and also find my work at ESPN alongside me, the founder of brewhoop.com and longtime voice of the podcast, Frank Madden, for today's episode that is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first watch or listen of every day. We appreciate the support. And hey, for the first time in a while, our last podcast after the Pacers game, Frank, there were some cranky Bucks fans in the house. And for three quarters tonight, they might have been a little cranky again, but the Bucks were able to pull out the win. We appreciate the support and the feedback, and just you just pouring your hearts out. Win or lose about the Bucks, we love it. So subscribe, drop a comment, like, review, and all that stuff. It's free to do, and it really helps us. This game against the Raptors, and I don't know about you, Frank, but anytime the Bucks play the Raptors, I'm always just like, please just win this game. I know it's probably going to be close. I know this team is going to be annoying. I never feel overwhelmingly confident in a game against the Toronto Raptors. And for three quarters, this was the case. But the Bucks in the fourth quarter outscored the Raptors 29-16. They really needed a win when you look at the standings. And I think with Giannis and Drew off the floor at the start of this fourth quarter, Brook Lopez was the one that grabbed this game by the scruff for the next 17 points in the fourth quarter. Long live Brook Lopez.
Yeah, well, they missed him last yes. game came out, obviously. Defensively, that Pacers game was obviously again, not that Brook Lopez was going to stop them from shooting all those threes for Indiana, but it was a pretty good argument in favor of Brook Lopez as defensive player of the year. Right. And tonight, I think we saw not just the defense, but his ability to kind of give you that timely offense, and Giannis taking 9 shots. That's the fewest shots he's taken this season outside of that Charlotte game at home, which was, still like the stinker of all stinkers the Bucks have had. He only played 26 minutes in that game. He played 36 minutes tonight, only took 9 shots. And it's not like it was because he was getting to the line 15 times, right? Only took 7 free throws, made only 3 of those. And so, Toronto just, again, we've seen that they can do a good job of denying them the ball. We saw at various points they went to a zone, which, the first run of zone that they had, I thought the Bucks kind of figured out reasonably well. They were able to get the ball Giannis on the move at various points, sort of in the middle of that zone. But Giannis didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. And when Brook Lopez scores, 17 points, I think, in the fourth quarter, or maybe did he get up to 19? I can't remember if the 17 was before those last couple free throws or not, but just a monster finish to the period for him. And as you said, Bucks late in the third quarter, they go down 8 points. I believe it was 95-87, and Chris Middleton hits a very Chris Middleton like step back long 2 from the corner. Very strange place to take that shot, but with 1 second left to get them back to 95-89. And then Brook Lopez basically says, all right, let's do this. And, pick and roll was again a huge weapon for him. He only goes 1-for-6 from 3 in this game. So again, for those saying like, oh, it's a totally different Brook Lopez. Well, we've been saying it the last 2 years, really, we've seen a much more diverse offensive Brook Lopez. We saw him tonight. I mean, he had that 3-point play early in the fourth quarter where one was off a nice pass, I think from Chris, I want to say. And then the other one was a really nice drive, sidestep, and one that tied it, I believe. And Yeah, I mean, he was just huge. And when teams are really keying in on Giannis and basically saying, you know, we're going to try to take Giannis away, which, you know, Toronto is one of the best teams in the league at just denying Giannis the ball and putting pressure on him at the three-point line and then bringing kind of high help so that it's just hard for him to get that head of steam going to the basket. You need other guys to step up. And tonight, you know, Drew Holiday also pretty subdued, just 3 for 8 from Drew. So, you know, he's been very quiet of late. Tonight, it was more about just – he really just didn't take many shots. But fortunately, you had Brook Lopez, you had Chris Middleton, and early going, you had Bobby Portis making shots. So you were able to kind of overcome that. And, yeah, again, Brook Lopez, just the season of Brook Lopez, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you Brook Lopez is the Bucks MVP or the best player on the team or something like that. But he's been as essential to, you know, certainly the narrative of this team, the turnaround of this team from – you know, kind of like, I mean, they were good last year, but the defense going from 10th to among the best in the league all season long, obviously Brook is the huge variable that changed from last year to this year. And his offense, I mean, over the last couple months, it seems like every other game, at least he's able to pop up and really make big plays when they need them. And his chemistry with Chris, with Drew, with Joe Ingles has really evolved. And you know, especially with the gravity that Giannis has and all the attention that he gets on a night where, you know, Giannis goes 9 for 9, only 9 shots, but made them all count. You needed Brook Lopez to come up big in the fourth quarter. And again, the big guy came through yet again. And we saw how much we missed him a couple days ago in the last game. And tonight he reiterated why he's been such a crucial guy for the Bucks all season long. And again, just we kind of running out of superlatives and praise for what Brook Lopez does. But again, 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. Again, only quote unquote, only 2 blocks, but 9 for 15 from the field, 7 out of 7 from the foul line, and a plus 11 in 32 minutes. Giannis was minus 10. So they really kind of lost, you know, third quarter. We didn't see much of Brook at all. Bucks went smaller and kind of, you know, again, I felt the game slipping away a little bit at points, but fortunately Brook and Drew, that combination to start the fourth quarter, really able to turn this game around. And, you know, you expect to win this game against a Toronto team that's, you know, under 500, second night of a back-to-back, but they've been playing better of late. And as you said, this is they are always frisky. They're defensively annoying. And you never know when Fred VanVleet or any of these other guys might go on a heater. So yeah, let's call that a good bounce back win. You definitely don't want to go into this short homestand and take 2 straight losses against team well below you in the standings.
Yeah, VanVleet finished this game 23 points and 11 assists. He was 9 for 21 from the field, but there was that one possession where Giannis was all over him on the perimeter. Really, really good defensive possession from Giannis in isolation. And VanVleet kind of just tosses it up against the glass. And I was like, here we go. We're going to have to deal with this crap again in the fourth quarter. But thankfully, they were able to push on. You mentioned about
Didn't he have a baby recently? I think he actually did have another child recently. So as we know, when Fred VanVleet has children, he suddenly catches heaters against the Bucks. But fortunately, we avoided that for the most part tonight.
It's bizarre to me not watching the Raptors game in, game out, but just to look at the record and see they're 35 and 37 because they got some really good players. So it is just a bizarre set of circumstances in Toronto. I want to move on to a little bit more on Giannis and obviously Chris Middleton as well, who was pretty timely shooting the ball from the outside today. So I want to ask you about what you've seen from Chris. But just lastly on Brook, so it was 17 points. So he outscored the Raptors 17 to 16 on his own in the fourth quarter. And I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and I got some pretty sharp feedback on return serve from Giannis fans who for some reason took this as a slight to Giannis. But I said, you know, has Brook Lopez been the most important Bucks player this season? I'm not saying is he the best player on the team, but based on the fact that Giannis has missed the 15, 16 games, Brook has only missed, well, 2 now. He missed the last game against the Pacers and they got absolutely handled. I just think the reliance on him and the availability of him has been just so huge for this team, particularly defensively, because he can keep them in games, even when Giannis isn't out there with what he can do defensively. So just a monstrous season from Brook. And I don't know what the plan was from a minutes perspective, but he only played 19 minutes through the first 3 quarters, as you pointed to, Frank, not a lot in the third. And then he played the entire 12 minutes. And we'll probably talk about the standings later in this game, but this again felt like the, I mean, the Bucks understand where they are in the standings. The Sixers are right there. The Celtics are right there. So just a really, really important win after letting one slip against the Pacers the other night. So I want to get into all of that stuff after I talk about Prize Picks. And if you aren't familiar with how Prize Picks works, go to prizepicks.com, use the promo code Locked On, pick 2 to 6 players. And if they score more or less than the Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. And you have to check it out. I don't know if this Brook Lopez scoring projection has been rising over the previous few weeks. I feel like it might have, but if you've taken the over, you'd be in good shape. So there's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And it doesn't have to be NBA. You can try any sport, baseball on the way back, hockey as well, golf, college sports right now. Obviously, a lot of people watching the college hoops. You can make your entry in 60 seconds or less. It's safe to use and currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com and sign up to play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. You deposit 100, they'll give you 100. Deposit 50, they'll give you 50, and so on. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com. Where do you want to take this, Frank? Did Giannis, well, Chris Middleton?
Well, let's just to round out the Brook discussion. So yep. Just looking at his splits. So post All-Star break, Brook Lopez in 11 games, this number obviously would go up slightly based on tonight's performance, but 20.4 points, 8 rebounds, 65% true shooting, 57%, 42%, 70% splits from the field, three-point line and free throw line. Only the free throw line is under our normal expectation of Brook Lopez, also averaging about 3 blocks per game in that span. He has really elevated his, I mean, he was already playing great, averaging like 15 a game pre All-Star break, and now to have then further elevated his game, his efficiency, the defense just staying at this kind of ridiculous level. It's been a ton of fun. And we're spoiled as Bucks fans. We get to watch Jrue Holiday and Giannis play defense every night as well. Brook Lopez has been the Bucks' best defender this year. He's been the most essential defender, I think, night in and night out. I think Jrue, to me, is probably the second most essential, just again, also because of a lot of this, the availability and what he means to them from a perimeter defensive standpoint. But, Brook's just been incredible. And to see him, kind of jumping out to the top of the odds list for defensive player of the year has just been awesome. And again, at nearly 35 years old, to be doing this, having his best season as a pro, it's just an awesome story for him. And yeah, I'm glad we've been getting a lot of, first segment Brook Lopez discussion time because he's earned it.
So Giannis had, and I just saw this on Twitter as well, so the second perfect from a field goal perspective, triple-double of the season, joining Nikola Jokic. And I think actually only the 14th in NBA history. I believe I just saw that. So it's interesting. As you pointed to, a little bit of a different game for him, but he did play to 36 minutes. So they obviously leaned on him pretty heavily. And one of his assists, and I don't know whether this was the 10th assist, actually, it might have been, went to Javon Carter, who just about a minute before this, when it felt like the Bucks had momentum, he pulled up for that transition three. And we've spoken about this, Frank. Javon Carter is going to be a guy in the postseason that you love because he goes ballistic from three and helps you win a game. Or the quick trigger that he has got is going to frustrate you. And I'm not sure whether that was the shot they wanted in that circumstance, but he made up for it and hit a huge one in the corner about a minute later.
Yeah, when they go in, they're fun. My general view on Javon in these pull-up transition threes is, when you're playing, pick the random team and, you're on a run and he gets a chance to take one when he's got a little bit of a rhythm in the, second quarter of a game where the Bucks are up double digits, let it flow, right? But in that situation, I got nervous the way he was dribbling up that he was going to do it. And I was like, oh, come on, man, not now. Like, can we be a little bit more deliberate and let your best players touch the ball? That was not my favorite shot. And also, I need to check the stats again. Like, he actually has not shot these pull-up threes actually that well this year. I mean, he's been an incredible spot up 3-point shooter, which is then the shot that he made, as you referenced, you know, a minute later practically. But yeah, some of the decision making from 3-point shots, like, again, you don't want guys overthinking it, but the pull up, you know, leaning in 3-point shot, I would like a little bit more discretion from Javon on those, but fortunately he repaid Bud with that corner three, and he's been so good from that spot all season long. And again, when he's not dribbling, generally, you know, better things happen. He had another one of those where he was kind of over dribbling, spinning, doing all kinds of crap with the shot clock running down in the left corner, and, you know, had to put up a bad shot. Again, he got the ball pretty late in the clock there too.
Yeah,
but
he did.
Generally speaking, especially against a team like the Raptors, with the way that they're able to, they've got a lot of really good individual defenders, and where they're able to, you know, the longer you're dribbling, I feel like oftentimes you're able to create problems for yourself. The more you dribble against that team, generally good things were happening when the Bucks were kind of being a little crisper with it. So that's a little bit of a bullet there. But, you know, again, thankfully, Javon, he's been a great shooter all season, and he came back around there for that last one.
All right, I want to get to Chris Milton. And by the way, this is going to be one of those podcasts. We'll get to the end and say, hey, should we talk about Giannis a little bit more? He just had a triple-double. And I know it's weird, but it is just one of those things that there's plenty to talk about. So Chris Milton, we've discussed the three-point shot. Entering tonight, he was at around 31.8%. He goes 5-for-8 from three. He had 20 points, a couple of nice, important baskets that just kept the scoreboard ticking along in the first half, and then was able to get to the free throw line in the fourth quarter, which I thought was pretty critical at the time. It's interesting because the Sacramento Kings game, where he really went off, he was 5-for-8 from three. Then he was 0-for-5 against Indiana. Then he comes back tonight, 5-for-8 again. So they're clearly his two best three-point shooting games. There's some not so nice stuff sandwiched in the middle, but hopefully the trend 2 out of the last 3 means that it's starting to turn and he's getting those legs back. And again, he played 32 minutes. So I think, at least from a minutes perspective, it looks like he's basically back where you would want him to be and can extend a little bit more, I'm sure.
Yeah. And tonight, you know, it's interesting thinking back to historically how the Raptors have played him. I mean, there were stretches. I want to say it was the bubble year. I think it was in the bubble. Remember, Chris had a chance to go 50-40-90, and I think the last game was against Toronto. Yeah. And they were, you know, doubling him at various points and kind of disrupting things. And they've done that. I don't know if they've done it, you know, recently as much. I don't think we really saw it tonight, but they have kind of given Chris different looks over the years. And tonight, you know, again, the 3-point shooting was pretty critical. I think, like, in the first, until that late jumper in the corner, to end the third quarter, I don't think he'd had a 2-point basket before that shot. And again, just sort of underscores, like, it's not easy to get to the rim against this team, but the way that they're able to kind of load up, not just to Giannis, but to kind of everybody. And I thought, you know, he was critical that he hit that shot late in the third. And then he got to a mid-ranger in the fourth quarter as well. And so, you know, again, like, this is, like, you look at his numbers tonight, whatever he had, 26-5, or I don't forget how many rebounds he had tonight, but it's 28-5, right? I mean, that's kind of the production you expect to get from him, right? 4 turnovers, it's a little bit on the high side, but 7 out of 13, 5 out of 8 from 3, 20 points in 32 minutes. You know, that's obviously something important. And probably the most surprising thing to me was, and this kind of intertwines the Chris and Giannis storylines, for the life of me, I could not figure out why they were having Chris guard Pascal Siakam.
Right.
Like, I was just like, why? Like, Giannis is, like, prototypically built to defend Siakam, and he's done this for most of the last few years, right? Like, that's been the natural matchup, is to have Giannis guard Siakam. We saw when, before they got Jakob Poeltl and they had Scottie Barnes, and they were doing, you know, like, the all 6'8 guy stuff. You know, we saw Brooke guard Scottie Barnes, who left this game, I think, at roughly around halftime, or was it near the end of the third? I can't remember which quarter it was, but with a hand injury. But they kind of had to contort to, like, kind of match up. But still, it was always like, well, Giannis is a very obvious guy to guard Siakam. And it's funny. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Siakam only goes 5 for 14 from the field, 13 points. I mean, he didn't hurt the Bucks. Chris definitely had his hands full defending him for long stretches. And it really wasn't until late in the fourth that Giannis started to guard him. And I think it was when Chris, I think, first to get a rest midway through the fourth quarter. I think that's when Giannis started to guard Siakam. But I didn't really understand that. Thankfully, it didn't really end up hurting the Bucks much. But putting Giannis on Ananobi, who, you know, is a pretty like mechanical dribbler and attacker, and obviously is not as, I would say, as, you know, sort of physically capable of kind of spinning and getting to the basket as Siakam is. I thought that was a bit just of a head scratcher from Bud going to that matchup. But, you know, I mean, it's not like Siakam killed him. I think he did have, what, 7 assists or something like that. So he did make some plays for teammates as well. Yeah, that was a bit of an interesting decision. And it didn't feel like Chris, it felt like it was a struggle for Chris physically, just Siakam just being stronger and obviously quicker than Chris. But, you know, he hung in there and fortunately didn't end up really hurting the Bucks very bad. I think Siakam was like a minus 10 as well. But that one was a bit of a head scratcher for me defensively.
I agree. The only thing I'll say is I kind of like the fact that they were putting him through that challenge again. Like it's not like they're hiding him physically. So, they probably had a better matchup, but I was at least sitting back and saying, well, he must be feeling okay if they're happy to put him through this. So, and we saw a couple of other occasions late, he got absolutely blown by Van Vliet. That's not going to be a matchup for him. I mean, I've been saying it for years. I think the evidence suggests from what we've seen, he's a better defender in the postseason than perhaps he doesn't lay it all out on the line during the regular season. We'll see whether he's still got that in, because this year has been hard to judge based on his health. All right, I got the clutch stats in front of me, Frank. You've been referencing this team and what they've been able to do in the fourth quarter, another big fourth quarter tonight. So I want to get to that in just a little bit, because I have seen some frustration from Bucks fans that this idea that the Bucks don't really close out games, the numbers really don't match up with that. So we're going to get to that in just a little bit after I talk about Nissan and the Nissan Aria. Most electric player of the week. And it's going to Brook Lopez, Splash Mountain, because he had 26 points tonight. He's been awesome all season long. And it's only Monday. It's the first day of the week. But Brook Lopez, he can take the Nissan Most Electric Player of the Week. Brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Aria. As we can't speak about Brook Lopez enough. Go back to segment one, because it was some high-quality podcast in here today on Locked On Bucks. But just like the Nissan Aria, Brook Lopez, fiercely elegant, strong, tough, glacial, moving to the basket, stunningly powerful with some of those dunks today, a poster and a ferocious reverse jam. Unbelievable stuff. He delivers on duality because he gets it done on both ends of the floor. And this is all reminding me of the Nissan 2023 Aria. It packs Pintier seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV, the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Aria, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at nissanusa.com. And Frank, just hold your horses there, my friend, because we're going to talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is Built March Madness and the Built March Madness bracket. Commiserations to all our Marquette friends, and in particular, Camille Davis, who is probably crying right now after the loss of Marquette. But we know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now is your time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know I'll be voting for anything that's got coconut in it there. But if you want Marquette, well, if you wanted Marquette to win, then you would have been voting for that in your March Madness bracket. But with your March Built Madness bracket, you vote for your favorite bar or puff, and you're entered into the draw where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. It doesn't get any better than that. You got to try Built, the best protein bar ever. They're so amazing. You won't even understand how they're good for you. What makes Built bars and puffs so good? For starters, high in protein, low in sugar, covered in 100% real chocolate. Go to Built.com and specifically go to BuiltMarchMadness.com and get involved. Frank, the clutch stuff. The Bucks now, and I don't think this is including tonight, they've been in 34 games that have involved clutch situations. They're 26-8 in those 34 games. So I believe after tonight, they'll be 27-8. The interesting thing is the offensive rating in those games is only 107.4. So it confirms what we believe. This team gets it done by ramping up the defense in the fourth quarter. But you think about some games where they haven't performed well. Philadelphia obviously was not great in the fourth quarter. They've had a couple of other moments in games that lost. But overall, and particularly over this last two-month stretch, this team does be able to find a gear in the fourth quarter, and it's the defense that helps them win. Do you feel comfortable yet about this team in the fourth quarter that they are going to be able to close out games, I guess particularly offensively?
Yeah, I view this as a strength. You know, as you said, I mean, they've had a couple of, you know, the Philly fourth quarter, Indiana fourth quarter, right? But for the most part, I mean, you know, just go back, look what this team did in the championship run, right? They won a championship because they played like, you know, they had ice water in their veins down the stretch of games. And with the exception of game six against Brooklyn, I guess, and game one against Atlanta, every other close game they closed out, right? And that was including games three through six or four through six against Phoenix, where, you know, they went toe to toe with a team that was, I mean, Phoenix has been sort of the gold standard clutch team over the past few years with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And again, probably all of you guys listening know what happened at the end of that series. And so I think, yeah, I mean, I just think, again, there's always going to be randomness and luck in terms of clutch performances. You know, I'm sure people who listen to us regularly know we've talked about how, you know, records in close games, you know, those tend to be, can be fluky, right? You know, they always say that the great teams win the blowouts, and close games are oftentimes, you know, much more of coin tosses and all that. So I don't want to sit here and act like, you know, the Bucks are systematically going to, you know, drastically outperform, you know, their opponents in clutch time, you know, for the rest of recorded history or something like that. But I think this is a really good, I think this is a team that's battle tested. They've won close games. They have confidence. They're champions. You know, no moment is going to be too big for any of the key guys that they're going to roll out there. And even some of the newer guys, right? Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles, like, okay, they didn't win championship with the Bucks, but those guys afraid of big moments? No, absolutely not, right? So I'm not at all concerned about, you know, this team in clutch situations or anything like that. You know, I think we've seen from this team kind of all year that when things get close, they can make plays on both ends, which is obviously crucial. And, you know, I thought we saw it again tonight. They kind of did the work early in the fourth quarter, I think, right? Versus having to do it late, which is good for probably all of our, you know, all of our mental health, that they were able to kind of get out from the front pretty early in the fourth quarter. And by the way, before I forget too, I mean, when we talked about buyout guys, right? We always try to say like, hey, buyout guys, you don't want to like put too much stock in a buyout guy, because there's usually a reason why a guy is available on the buyout market. And, you know, Will Barton was a guy that got thrown around as, hey, maybe the Bucks would be interested in Will Barton. And we all kind of like looked at his numbers this year and like, man, Will Barton's, man, he's freaking sucked for the Wizards. Like, what happened to Will Barton? And we saw it. I mean, he was essential to the Bucks making that early fourth quarter run. He was 0-for-6 from the field tonight, minus 10 or something. I mean, he was, ball was in his hands early in the fourth quarter for Toronto when Van Vliet was out. And I mean, he didn't miss all six of his shots in that span, but he missed probably three shots, missed, you know, again, and got to decent spots kind of mid range. And, you know, those are spots that, you know, kind of prime Will Barton could hurt you from, but he really struggled. And, you know, that was when the game kind of turned. So, you know, maybe the Bucks aren't going to have Will Barton to help turn around playoff games in the clutch, but that was one thing that I did take note of. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't think, not that I was banking on Will Barton being a guy that I really needed in a Bucks uniform, but I think we saw tonight something's kind of up with him. And again, maybe just, maybe his best days are just behind him, but yeah, that was not a great shining moment for Will Barton tonight.
5 minutes and 12 seconds in the fourth quarter for Will Barton. He was 0-for-2 and minus 12 in those 5 minutes. So, yeah, it didn't go too well. So you spot on, as per usual, Frank. The standings, this was very important. We mentioned it at the start. And it's interesting just from the Bucks' point of view. Obviously, Jay Crowder didn't play tonight. He's working through some calf stuff. Wes Matthews with the DMP CD did not play. Interesting. That'll be something of watch because no Jay Crowder. Sometimes they've sort of crossed over with the minutes there. So we'll see what happens with Wes over the next few games. But look, the Bucks have a bit of work to do before they get to this point. But March 30 at home against Boston, April 2 at home against Philly, and currently the Sixers own the season series 2-1. They are 2.5 games back on the Bucks now, and so are the Celtics, although in the loss column, 2 games ahead of the Sixers, 3 games ahead of the Celtics. And the Sixers really look like the team to watch here. They look like the team that is in by far superior form to the Boston Celtics. So yeah, keep an eye on the Sixers. We thought it was going to be Bucks and Boston. It might be Philly, the biggest rival to that number one seed.
Yeah, and the Sixers have the hardest kind of remaining schedule here. So they got the Bulls at home next game. Who knows with the Bulls, right? They actually have a home and home with the Bulls Monday and Wednesday. So hopefully the Bulls can do that thing where they just randomly are good. But then the Sixers play at on Friday, then at Phoenix on Saturday, and then at Denver on Monday before returning home and getting the Mavericks, Raptors, and then coming to Milwaukee for that showdown with the Bucks. And then they turn around, they host the Celtics on April 4th. They host the Heat after that, and they have to play in Atlanta and Brooklyn to close the season. So, I mean, obviously, whatever, like, you know, yes, you expect them to beat Brooklyn and Atlanta, and, you know, they're playing. I mean, they're right now, you know, look at the last couple of weeks. I mean, they've been playing the best basketball in the league, right? I mean, they beat the Bucks, so it's kind of hard to say with the winning streak that they've on that they've been they haven't been hotter than the Bucks. And they have I think if you go back to since December, I want to say, I mean, the Sixers have the best record in the league since then as well. So, I mean, Philly's been great. You know, they've been playing well enough that you're going to really probably need to beat them at home in that Sunday, April 2nd game in order to kind of solidify your hold on the top seed in the East. And again, hopefully Philly takes some L's, especially on that road trip coming up here at the end of this month. Hopefully the home Warriors can show up and do home Warriors things.
All right.
But Embiid's been, I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, he looks like a guy that is, you know, making his case for MVP. And
he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Forget what he's doing on the floor. He'll tell you.
I feel like maybe he finally realized that, like, being like desperate and talking about like whining about not winning MVP is like the worst way to try to win an MVP. Like, maybe he finally realized that, like, you know, to win an MVP, you got to act like you don't care about winning MVP. So I don't know, but I mean, he's been awesome. I think he's now, I think the Vegas favorite, right? I think he's moved ahead of Jokic. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to lose sleep if he's able to win it. He's been awesome. But again, circle that game against the Bucks. You know, that's Giannis's chance to make his statement. He didn't make it against Embiid in the last game when they lost, and he missed some shots down the stretch. So hopefully he can redeem himself a bit. And again, there's going to be the round robin where Denver and the 76ers play on the 27th. I think the Bucks are playing in Denver like maybe 2 nights before that on the second night of a back-to-back. So so again, Giannis, I think he's probably trending towards third. The way things are headed. And again, I think the Bucks need to finish first overall in the East for him to have any chance. And he probably needs to, you know, again, not ideal on the second night of a back-to-back coming from Utah, a Utah-Denver back-to-back, 2 games at altitude. I mean, that's just brutal. But Denver obviously has not been playing great lately. And so he may need to put in a big performance and lead the Bucks to win there and then come back and beat Embiid a week later. But again, I mean, this is why people complain about the regular season and everything, but I think it's been a pretty entertaining regular season. I mean, you know, the best players are, I mean, look across the board, right? With the exception of some injuries and things like that to KD, LeBron, et cetera. I mean, what Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid have been doing is unbelievable. Lillard, you know, some other guys, Luka, right? I mean, just incredible performances from a lot of these superstar players this year. And again, people complain about the All-Star game and, you know, load management, things like that. But I, you know, let's not take the eye off the reality of this is just it's a great time for the league in terms of, you know, when everybody's playing, it's an incredible product right now. So again, I know everybody likes to be doom and gloom about what needs to change, but it's been pretty fun. And I guess, you know, easier to say that when you're a Bucks fan and your team is 51-20, right? So it's pretty good, right? If the Bucks had taken an L tonight, I probably wouldn't be talking about what a great time it is for the league. But you know, I'm feeling generous, I guess.
Let's check in with our friends from Locked On Pistons and see how they feel, or Locked On Rockets or something like
hey,
that.
Hey, they got a Wembanyama, Hope Springs Eternal, Kane. You know, I mean, those teams they got dreams of the 2029 NBA championship floating through their heads.
Yeah, I'm a Bucks fan. The idea of hoping for success at the draft hasn't served me too well over the years. And the one time that it did serve us better than it ever possibly could, I didn't know that it was going to be the case, and I had no expectations. Anyway, as you mentioned, the MVP at FanDuel, our friends at FanDuel, of course. You're right, Joel Embiid -250, Nikola Jokic +380, then Giannis +500 there. So third favorite, as it currently stands, we'll see. There's going to be some big games that could swing that. We know that's typically the way it goes. I'm looking at that Bucks and Sixers game in a couple of weeks' time. All right, let's wrap it up. Check out the Locked On Game to Game podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. All the stats, news, info, analysis from around the NBA on a daily basis. The Locked On Game to Game podcast. Check it out on your Locked On NBA feed. And we'll have a pod tomorrow. Justin or Camille will boost Camille's spirits and get her back on track and remind her of the basketball force that is the Milwaukee Bucks and forget the college stuff. So Camille or Justin, they don't know about it yet, but I'm just announcing it. And then the next night we'll have Zora Stevenson is going to come on. We haven't podcasted with Zora for a long time, so it'll be fun to catch up with her. She's killing it in the play-by-play, which is great to see. And then they play the Spurs. So a couple of nights off, the Bucks still at home. The Spurs aren't trying to win, so take care of business. But we'll have podcasts right throughout the week. Frank, pleasure as always. I'm glad the Bucks won tonight. Everyone's happy. What a great product the NBA is. We'll speak to you all tomorrow.